Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein. Today we're in the studio with Robert McBride, Senior Product Manager in the Software Networking Group at Brocade. Welcome.
How's it going?
It's going great. We have talked to Brocade about different things on Chip Chat before, and it seems like almost every week on Chip Chat we're talking about software-defined networking and the transformation that's going on in this space. Can you just start with an introduction of what you do at Brocade, and then we can jump right into the topic at hand for today's episode.
I'm one of the product managers for a product line called the Brocade Viata Virtual Router, which is a product line that Brocade had acquired through an acquisition of a company called Viata, actually. And the product is a virtualized network operating system that provides a number of different types of packet services, such as routing, firewall, as well as VPN. So as a product manager, I manage the actual product line from a roadmap perspective, ongoing as well as sustaining development, as well as a go-to-market strategy.
You know, you've been in this space for a long time. What do you think are the predominant drivers of innovation right now, and where does Brocade play in that space?
I guess my own kind of personal opinion as far as what some of these drivers are really is focused around trying to drive some costs down, as well as trying to come into a more unified type of method to actually orchestrate as well as manage a lot of these very, very large networks. As we look at where a lot of this change is actually happening, it's within a very predominant company. So if you take a look at the companies such as like AT&T and Verizon, or even other companies that might be sitting inside of the financial market space, or even some of the higher education markets, where their main goals here are trying to be able to manage their large networks as well as provide a variety of different type of connectivities and solutions to their customers. And their main drivers right now are trying to be able to automate that as much as possible. And part of that is actually looking at software to try to help more easily be able to meld some certain types of network-based services they want to provide into a very common automation as well as control tool set.
When you look at that shift, the networking technologies that are being discussed are across, you know, the enterprise data center into the telco arena with some of the same technologies that are being targeted for both spaces. What is the advantage of that? And what kind of changes in philosophies is that driving into the customer base?
I think one of the most exciting things that's happening right now is that we're at a very interesting time in the sense that everyone across the board, no matter what space and what type of technology you're in, is actually going through a very huge fundamental shift in their philosophy or mythology, how they actually want to design and actually do network-based types of services. And as you kind of pointed out, it's across various different markets. And it's not just our telco guys who are trying to reduce their costs because the types of services they provide us as consumers of their services, they aren't necessarily charging us more, if you will, for those types of services. But yet we as the consumer are actually demanding more every single kind of day. Mm-hmm. And the same thing goes as well even to any other market, right? Whether it's in the financials, educations, or your kind of traditional enterprises. And so as a result of that, all these business types are looking to try to figure out ways to save costs on themselves. And at the same time, they're wanting to make things available everywhere. And part of that also comes into how they actually manage and control the networks and what's the easiest way to kind of get that done. And software seems to be being talked about quite a bit as a way to virtualize a variety of different types of network-based services to allow us to connect to these types of resources. And the benefit from that is a very easy way to actually automate those types of services to provision that to us as consumers or subscribers of either cloud-based services or even enterprises as subscribers to service providers. And so everyone across the board is looking at this as a huge benefit to say, hey, I can not only reduce my costs, but I can also automate the way I'm actually providing that delivery of services to you, which, again, extends more cost benefit to me from an operational perspective. If I virtualize that, I can potentially reduce some of my hardware-based costs associated to providing this type of connectivity. And I now can actually start to have these all placed underneath a very common and unified type of control mechanism or orchestration tool set. If you can look at a single pane of glass or a single tool set that can do all of your provisioning, control, and troubleshooting, that also helps you on your business side as far as reducing costs and extending a benefit to your consumers.
When we look in that cadence, how did the virtual routers come in as being part of the solution?
The virtual router has evolved from actually just being a traditional type of a hardware appliance now being very much tuned and optimized to work in a virtualized manner to actually be as deployable and as flexible as applications that we're virtualizing, whether it might be web-based services or databases or even things along the lines of virtualizing environments that have compute and storage in order to provide us cloud types of services too as well.
Where does the customer benefit in terms of the types of challenges that they're trying to solve?
I guess it really kind of depends on what customer you're talking about. You know, I can think a little bit selfishly as me as just, you know, your average Joe. I'm trying to get different types of services just to make my life easier in the sense of, you know, I've got a lot of mobile devices from even just doing things on, you know, taking a lot of pictures and music. I'm personally looking for a very efficient and very easy way to do my own personal cloud services. Now, the guys that are actually hosting that, of course, are these larger corporations or different types of companies and enterprises that are actually providing and extending those cloud services to us, but they're then also taking and getting services from even the larger companies, right? So the telcos and the service providers. As the larger telcos or the communication providers of the world are able to drive their costs down, they should be able to extend some of that cost or benefit or efficiencies even down to our larger enterprises. And then from there, obviously, trickle-down effect comes down to us as just normal consumers.
Now, I know that you guys are part of our Intel Network Builders program and have been leveraging technologies from Intel other than just our baseline processors, such as DPDK. Can you talk a little bit about what the collaboration with Intel is like and how the underlying Intel technologies are leveraged into delivering value to your customers?
So since 2006, our entire product has been aligned to actually fall in line, if you will, to Intel's innovations as well as roadmap. The leaps in scale as well as feature velocity we have within the product line since 2006, they're very much tied to, quite frankly, Intel's chipset advancements too as well. And then when the bringing out, if you will, of the Data Planes Developer Kit from Intel, we latched onto your guys' Data Planes Developer Kit to then be able to take a virtualized network operating system, have it perform at line rate speeds that are basically pretty much equal on hardware. You guys were also trying to do a lot of consolidation as it relates to both compute, storage, as well as network-based services. And for us as a virtual network operating system that does basically packet services, we are very much ensuring that everything that you embed within your chips, we are taking full leverage of. So as we move forward, we'll begin to say, for example, take more advantage of Intel's SAA framework in order to assist with socket affinity or core affinity to ensure that the network operating system, the virtual router from Brocade, is given the resources that is necessary in order to perform the critical services as it relates to, you know, network stuff like routing and firewall and such like that.
So, Robert, this has been a really great conversation. I'm sure that people who are listening want to find out more about the vRouter 5600 and generally what Brocade is doing in this space. Where can they find more information or connect with you?
Obviously, email is a great method to do so, following Brocade's standard Twitter handle from our PR team. But go on to brocade.com, and you can find a slew of information as it relates to both our older generation 5400, which is not the DPDK-enabled technology we have, but the 5600, which is DPDK-enabled. And there's a large number of white papers and quick start guides, if you will, to kind of understand the architecture and be able to kind of get your hands on the product. As well, Brocade offers this as a free trial download, so customers and users can go straight to our website and very easily sign up to get a 60-day evaluation of the platform in order to kind of test drive it on their own.
Well, thank you so much for being on the program today, Robert.
Thank you, Allison.
I always get an education when we bring somebody on from the networking arena, so thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.